Hello once again, this is Cyril Stevens from Christmas Valley, welcoming you to this time of Saints for Jesus. We are saints for Jesus, we are saints with Jesus, we are in Jesus. What a privilege, what an honor. Now we're studying, as you remember, the Beatitudes, the attitudes that we should be and be constantly exhibiting. And that's much easier said than done. And I believe that we have things sometimes back to front and inside out and upside down. And God is the God that does things differently to man. Now, I've said all that before, but I'm repeating myself because I want to emphasize above all things that you will understand what I'm saying, so that there is absolutely no chance of any of us not knowing what I'm talking about. If you turn with me, please, to Matthew 5, these Beatitudes are revealed to us starting in verse 3 and down to verse 12, and they read this way, "Blessed are the poor in spirit." And I stumbled over that word, poor in spirit, for years. Couldn't understand what Jesus was saying, for theirs is the kingdom of God. And the poor in spirit is the man that comes to the end of his rope. The Greek says he is empty, he is drawn out. And a good way to put this is, he's come to the end of his rope. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which hunger and thirst after righteousness, or have an appetite for God, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. And I have spent a lot of time just trying to get the emphasis over about being merciful, and I hope that has taken some root in some of your lives, at least got your minds going in various directions toward the Lord Jesus and not away from him. What it means to be merciful, for we shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart. This is where we come to today. For they shall see God. And blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Now, I would like to take off on that 12th verse and spend the rest of my time there. But first, let's look at this beautiful verse 8. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. The Word of God teaches us many things, and the other day I had occasion to be very cast down, and I found myself in a position of saying, is my heart pure? Now, I knew I was going to be talking about this purity of heart, but the Lord seemed to emphasize to me personally that I needed to be sure that my heart was pure. And it was a difficult time of analysis and seeking the face of the Lord and coming to understand myself. But I would like to share with you, because it's in the Word of God, Psalm 51. Now, King David has known God for years, yet he got caught up in a thing that so many of us suck in the air of the room and we hold our breath about and we condemn people with. It's adultery. Adultery. He says here in Psalm 51, I acknowledge my transgressions. My sin is ever before me. Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than the snow. Drop down to verse 10 of this chapter 51 of Psalms. He says, create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Now, my mother taught me to pray years and years ago. She said, "You must learn to pray, wash me that I shall be white as snow. Create within me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." And I stopped there, and I didn't go on. "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit." God will do this. But notice, please, saint, those of you that know that you're born again, there are times when there is a sin that does so easily beset us that we slip and we slide. And if we don't do something about it very quickly, we find ourselves at cross purposes with God. Our prayers are not heard. Our prayers are hindered. And we ask ourselves, why would my prayers be hindered? Because, says James, our prayers are hindered because we get ourselves into such a plight that we don't understand God. We don't understand the forgiveness that he pours out upon us. We don't understand his loving kindness, his tender mercies. We don't understand that we can get ourselves into such a mess that we come to the end of our rope. So many a Christian turns away from God instead of to God. Satan wants you to do that. He wants you to lose faith. He wants you to lose out. "A broken and contrite heart," says this Psalm 51, "thou wilt not refuse." Are you broken? Is there a contrite heart within you? Now, I would like to share with you from Psalm 91, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High." This is where we need to be. If you find yourself with sin, if you find yourself not loving God as you ought to have been, if you find yourself out of kilter with God or out of sync, however you want to put this, does God seem far away to you? If that happens, please understand that here we have in Psalm 91, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High," that's you. You're dwelling there. If you're dwelling in the secret place of the Most High, abide under the shadow of the Almighty. To abide means to live in. To live in. Jesus said, if you abide in me, if you live in me, and I live in you, if you abide in me and I abide in you. Jesus was speaking very bluntly, very carefully, very lovingly, saying to us, you can abide, you can live with me. And under the shadow of the Almighty, we have the wonderful thoughts. Look at verse 4. "He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday." Oh, how precious. Read the psalm. Read the whole psalm. Again, in verse 5, I've just read, "Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror of the night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day." Those things happen to us every day. But you don't have to be scared. You don't have to be frightened. Look at verse 16 of this. "With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation." With long life, says the word here, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Do you know the salvation of God is for a long life? It's not just for a long life in this world, although that's part of the equation. It is a long life that takes you into eternity, and you are forever with the Lord. The Lord Jesus is filled with compassion. I would take you again to the precious Psalms, and in the 11th Psalm, we discover some precious words that I was reading in this day that I was a little on the downturn side. And in the 11th Psalm, verse 7 says this, "For the righteous Lord loveth righteousness. His countenance doth behold the upright." And what did we read earlier here? We read that those that hunger and thirst after righteousness, they shall be filled. And notice how Jesus is the fulfillment of the psalm. The psalm is the prophecy of Jesus and his wonderful love to you and to me. A man that is righteous is not righteous in his own right. He is righteous in the blood of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. He is righteous because of the spilled life, the life poured out by Jesus on Calvary's cross. A man that is righteous is the man that has received the fullness of the blessing of the Lord God Almighty and has received the gift of life, which is eternal life. And he stands in the presence of a holy God, righteous, not in his own righteousness, but the righteousness of Jesus. That's a precious thing. And I want you to hang on to that. For the righteous Lord loveth righteousness. His countenance doth behold the upright. Ooh, grab hold of that. Look at Psalm 18 with me very quickly, please. Verse 26 tells us these precious, precious words. With the pure, thou wilt show thyself pure. Jesus loves to stand beside the pure. A pure person in the eyes of God is very, very precious. In Psalm 8, we read, the commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. How remarkable this word pure is that keeps cropping up. And as you go through the Psalms and as you go through the Scriptures, especially through the Gospels, you're discovering how it is that often we are being challenged to be pure. One of the things I would point out to you, we need to put ourselves on trial whether we are pure-hearted or not. It should be, I suppose, an hourly checkup, maybe a moment-by-moment checkup, but certainly it should be a daily checkup. Just how holy, how pure-hearted am I? Nahash, the Amorite, wanted to put out the right eye of the men in Israel. You can read this story in 1 Samuel 11 and verse 2. Beware of losing the sight of the eye that is spiritual and spiritual knowledge. And 2 Corinthians 4:4 teaches us that we should be very, very careful about this. Very often you and I lose sight of where we are. We lose our vision of God. And because of that loss, we drift. We drift away into all sorts of things and ideas and all sorts. We talk foolishly. But look at 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 4. Just for a moment with me, please. And I will show you these words. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. To you who are preachers, read the verse 5, for we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give light of the knowledge of the glory in the face of Jesus Christ. Look at these words. They're mountainous, they're marvelous, they're wonderful, and we can't allow Satan to cause ignorance to come to us. If you go to Acts of the Apostle, you will discover in chapter 26 a verse that is quite enlightening. We find in the 26th chapter of Acts where the apostle is having a sort of an awful time. He's been shipwrecked and things are not going his way at all. And in verse 18, we read Paul speaking and he says, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. I've got this faith, says Paul, and I want you to have this faith. I want you to understand this faith. Devils are in chains of darkness, according to Jude 6, and they like to get out, but ignorance produces the impurities of the soul. You can read that in Proverbs 19 and verse 2. You see, the heart is impure because it sees no need to change. Oh, I'm telling you the truth. And if you'll turn with me to the book of Revelation and chapter 3, you will discover with me in the 17th verse how it is that people are sometimes ignorant. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness doth not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see me. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him, and will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame, and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith. Now, I read all of that to you to say to you, please, dear friend, take a check-up. How pure is your heart? Have you sat back and said, I have need of nothing? Do you look at the circumstances that you find yourself flying into? Oh, dear, dear friend, you need not to be so silly. Look at this 17th verse of 3 of Revelation. A person says, how are you? And sickness often replies, I am fine, I'm all right. Or Jesus said in Luke 15 and verse 7, some say, no need of repentance. There are those that say, I don't need to repent, I've done all that. You have repented of the sin and received the Christ, the Savior of the world. You have received the glory of the presence of God, yet sin doth so easily beset you. When you are the strongest in the Scripture, you are the weakest to receive sin. This is a curious conundrum that I don't understand, but I have seen godly men, many, who are strong in the faith. Theologically, I may disagree with, and vice versa. It's not the theology I'm discussing, but I've seen mighty men of God, massively used of God, and yet I've seen this sin that nibbles around their heels, and it besets them, and they slide, they slip for a moment, for a day. Oh, and then how easily they fall. What happens? They have been saying in a prideful way, without realizing they'd been doing it, I have no need of repentance. The older I get, the more time I have to spend repenting. It's a most silly thing. People say that as you get old, you return to your first childhood and you enter into a second childhood. And I remember things that I said, I did, things that have been hidden for years upon years. And I have to rebuke those things and tell Satan again. They're under the blood. They're beyond my capacity to bring back. But I also have to remember, if there's need of repentance, if God the Holy Spirit is revealing those things to me, I need to repent, so I need to be tender-hearted. I have to be quiet and gentle, and I have to be careful. You see, the devils are in chains of darkness, and they want us to be chained to their silly darkness. Don't allow it to happen. I would like also to say to you, impurity blocks God's hearing of prayer. Again, I will go into the beautiful Psalms, and I will say to you from there, look at Psalm 66 for just a moment. You know, all the way through the Scriptures, there are some things that just shock us if we read them, and they bring us up pretty tight at times. But in Psalm 66, we discover in verse 18 these precious words, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. I'm going to say to you, dear saint of God, that it is probable that you have a stubborn sinfulness that is resting in your heart. It may be so stubborn that you've lost sight of it. And I'm going to say to you this, go and examine it. If you were offended because you heard something about somebody and then you took up that offense against them and decided that you had to make a move against that person, maybe you have iniquity. Maybe a lot of things, but whatever the iniquity is in your heart, know this, God's not listening. That is scary. I pray for my dear children. They are very precious to me. And as I get older, they become more and more precious. And as people in the past have prayed for their children, many a soul today doesn't realize there is an iniquity that is between them and God hearing the prayers for their children. And we wonder why the prayers for our children are not being answered. And I have to tell you, the definition of iniquity, stubborn sin. Stubborn sin. Sin that does not want to leave, does not want to be expelled. Sin that does not want to be cleared out. And we sometimes spiritualize and justify even the stubbornness of sin in our lives. We say it's okay. We cover it over. We pretend it's not there. We pretend that we're not involved, but we are actively involved because here we are praying for our children. And as we pray for those children, prayers are not answered and we're disappointed in God and don't realize that if there's stubbornness of sin in our lives, he's not listening. I find that incredible. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. The original words are, if I look at sin, not regard iniquity, if I look at sin in my heart. In other words, if my heart looks over the fence and covets what's over the fence, if I look over the hedge and see that greener fields are greater than the one I'm standing in, and I want something else and I covet, I desire, I want something else. I want more spice in my life, says some of these advertisements that we read and hear and see. Is that really true? No, it's satanic. No, it's sin. It's sin that breeds that thinking in our hearts and minds. It is sin that brings us to a place of absolute desolation because we cannot fathom sin. We would rather put up with it. We would rather bury it in our souls. It isn't that the blood of Christ can't cleanse it. It isn't that the Holy Spirit doesn't draw attention to it. It is that we do not listen and we do not concern ourselves with being pure of heart. Have you ever polished your boots and missed a piece? It looks atrocious if you have patchy, polished boots. Patchy, polished boots. There's a rhyme. Have you got patchy, polished heart? Some purity? Some scruffiness? Have you got that in your heart? Blessed are the pure in heart, all the heart, pure. Examine your heart. Examine it carefully, examine it closely, and understand that it is there. If you look at sin, you're in a terrible situation. It is if I indulge in sin when we live in sin. There is an evil heart of unbelief. It reveals impurity. If you do not believe that God can do the extraordinary, if you don't believe he's the miracle-working God, if you don't believe that God loves you more than anyone or anything, if you don't believe that he will lift you up out of the horrible pit and put your feet upon a solid rock, if you don't believe he can change your life completely into the glory that he wants it to be and the beauty that he wants it to be, if you do not believe that, then you are of an impure heart. And I look around and I see the impurities of my heart. I see the impurities. And there's need of repentance, a great need of repentance. So, let me remind you now, blessed are the pure in heart. Why? Well, a beautiful thing happens. They shall see God. They shall see God. I don't know that it's like when we see in films, a man is dying and he says, I see Jesus. I don't know if that's true. I don't know if he sees the white lights and all those things. I've not died yet. But I do know this, that God has said, I will see him. How shall I see him? Mostly in the works that he puts into my life and the way that I follow him. Mostly in the deliverance from the impurities. I must stop, but the Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. Will you pray? Lord Jesus, wash me that I shall be white as snow. Create within me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within me. Oh, you do the creating, please. For your name's sake, your honor and glory's sake. Amen. Hey, thank you very much for being here. Thank you for listening. God bless you and keep you. Bye-bye.